Welcome to Soul Via Soul, the podcast where we embark on a journey of self-love and true wellness. I'm your host, Jada, and I'm absolutely delighted to have you here with me as we dive into all things mind, body, and soul. Now, what do you say we get this thing started? Let's dive in. Have a general outline for my podcast. I think about things that I think would be helpful in the general wellness category, body, mind, and soul or spirit. But this morning I woke up with this aha moment and I felt like sharing a story to help connect the dots. And I just finished reading The Myth of Normal by Gabor Mate and it was amazing. Such a great book and so many pearls and nuggets of wisdom in there. And it really kind of summarized so much of the work that I'm trying to do in my own Soul Via Soul wellness platform. And that is to help with the understanding of how unhealed trauma, unless we go back and do the work of healing, that will continue to show up in our lives. And not only will it show up in our lives, it'll pretty much run the show until we go back and heal that. So I thought it might be helpful to connect the dots a little bit with how not healing will show up and manifest in our life. And I've got lots of examples from my own life that have highlighted how until I did the work, I was really running in a very dysfunctional, dysregulated state. And again, with that hindsight, I have more knowledge and awareness. But I hope to have you learn from my mistakes. I hope to help you know that as a person who's gone through the journey and also now as a therapist and a medical provider and blending those two trainings and passions to help understand how trauma and mind and body, physical and mental health actually intersect. How do they make sense? Where do they cross over? So let's take a little journey back to childhood. And again, I've talked about trauma before, and it doesn't have to be big T traumas that cause us to have a traumatic childhood. We can have lots of what are called little T traumas or even events that in our childhood are disappointing and we find that we are neglected or we feel certain sorts of hurts and wounds just through the process of growing up. But here's what's a really important distinction, and I'm going to put my medical hat on for just a hot second to help us understand how and why these sorts of negative impacts in childhood, small T traumas, impact and lodge and pretty much run the show until we go back and fix that. And that is the understanding that when we are children, our brain doesn't have a fully formed frontal lobe. When we are children, we spend most of our time in theta brainwaves. Now, theta brainwaves are very low brainwaves, and that's the brainwave pattern that we actually have when we're sleeping, like right before we fall into sleep and right when we wake up, our brain actually shifts into different brainwave patterns. When people go into hypnosis, they tap into those theta brainwaves because that's where the subconscious mind lies. And the subconscious programming or the subconscious thoughts that we have, again, they're not in our conscious awareness, but they're there. And our subconscious runs the show. It pretty much is the blueprint for how we run our life. But because it's not in our cognitive awareness, we may not even understand how those subconscious thoughts are ruling our life. So again, let's go back to childhood. We spend most of the time, maybe up until like age 7, that we are in lower brainwave patterns. In those basically hypnotic states, whatever we are experiencing in our life as children, we interpret as truth. When we have no ability because our frontal lobe isn't developed and we're not in alpha and beta brainwaves where we spend most of our adult life, we don't have the ability to recognize and even have the intellect at a young age to understand our world. So we do the best we can with the brain formation that we have at the time as a child. And that is this theta brainwave pattern where it's this subconscious imagination time. That's why children have such ease at living in an imaginative world, because they spend most of their time in these theta brainwaves. Whatever's happening in childhood at that time, and again, a series of wounds or disappointments or hurts are natural, even with people who have the healthiest and happiest of childhoods. We're going to have those disappointments and wounds from peers, from caregivers, from parents, from siblings, from coaches and teachers. Like, it's just going to happen. And we don't know how to make sense of that. And so what we do is we decide in our subconscious, because that's where we're spending most of our time, because that's where the brain development is that we must somehow be flawed or unworthy. Now, because that's in our subconscious, that's now the ruling thought, the prevailing overarching thought that is now ruling our life, but we're not aware of it. And we often don't become aware of it until we get into adulthood. But what happens is we, from this unhealed traumatic space of I am unworthy, now start to have behaviors and patterns of thinking that are attracting unhealthy in our lives. And this leads to what is a dysregulated nervous system. So how do we get from trauma that's unhealed to living and carrying out in a dysregulated, unhealthy way? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to chat about. So let's talk about emotional dysregulation. Emotional dysregulation is, we can also just say, is dysregulation. And this involves the inability to manage emotions and emotional reactions to stimuli. Some of these specific emotions include frustration, sadness, irritability, anger. Those with emotional dysregulation lack the self-awareness of their emotions, but always have the inability to regulate them. So when we don't treat that and go back to our childhood and heal those parts of ourselves, it can precipitate a lifelong struggle with family, friends, relationships, and coworkers. So what causes these types of dysregulation? Well, we know that past early childhood trauma can do it, but so can high conflict households, even when we're a little bit older, relationship conflicts that we have as we start to get into our teens, relationships ending, divorce, death, pregnancy, all of those big life transitions can cause us to have a dysregulated nervous system. And when that happens, we are not acting in a way that is in a healthy manner. Now, again, how is this important and why is this showing up in our life? So in order to understand that, I'm going to throw on my medical hat for just a hot second again to take a little walk through the nervous system. So the nervous system is broken down into some major parts. We have the central nervous system, we have the peripheral nervous system, and then we have the autonomic nervous system. So within that, we also have like the gut-brain axis, which some people call the second brain, and we have the heart-brain axis, which some people call the third brain. But not to get kind of lost in that, let's just take it little bit by little bit. So let's spend most of our time talking about the autonomic nervous system, because that's where we're going to be able to actually create patterns of change that help us actually heal our nervous system and have more regulation. So let's talk about the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is broken into two parts, sympathetic and parasympathetic. Most people are familiar with those terms. Sympathetic is fight or flight, big scary bears chasing me, gotta run. It's awesome when we need it, when we have danger. That's great. Wonderful. We need our sympathetic nervous system to come in and do our job of keeping us safe. The parasympathetic nervous system is where we have our ease, our calm, our rest and relax. What happens in early childhood trauma and even later traumas is that we don't recognize that our nervous system has been wired from that trauma space. We are acting and moving through life from a dysregulated nervous system, because when trauma happens to us, it's not an event that happens to us necessarily. It's what happens inside of us as a result. And because trauma is stored in the body, it gets stored within our nervous system, which is connected to our muscles and our joints, and it's all connected. So when we are moving from this traumatic space, this unhealed space, we have basically a nervous system that's hijacked and moving through life from a broken traumatic space. And the whole idea of healing is really this reconnection to ourselves. It's unbecoming all the layers and removing the things that no longer serve us, which is awesome, because that's the job of healing. However, let's talk about the importance of the parasympathetic nervous system. So when we are staying in a chronic fight or flight state, and that's going to be when we are feeling stressed out all the time, when we are in high conflict, toxic relationships, when we are going through divorce, when we are going through disappointments in our life, and again, those early traumatic childhood traumas that we haven't ever cleared, our nervous system is in this constant state of fight or flight that causes a disruption in our hormones, that causes a disruption in our immune system, that causes all sorts of physical symptoms like migraines and headaches, and is the groundwork for autoimmune disorders. There's a lot that goes wrong, so to speak, when we are living life through a dysregulated nervous system. A dysregulated nervous system is basically one that's programmed from trauma. Trauma leaves its imprint on our nervous system. And unless we go back and do the job of healing that, it's running the show. Those chronic stressed out states can lead obviously to burnout, but it also keeps us in that sympathetic nervous system, high cortisol stressed out state. And that's also going to lead to physical problems, hypertension, migraines, cardiovascular problems, GI issues. This is how the trauma and the mind and the body now start to intersect. We see that this dysregulated nervous system built on the framework of trauma is now causing issues in our life, physically, mentally, and with our relationships. That's the big connection. And it's because it's all connected. It's because trauma is stored in our body and our nervous system takes the brunt of that. So you're like, okay, that's all well and good, Jada, but how do I know? How do I know if I'm living life in this dysregulated state? How do I know if I have a dysregulated nervous system? Well, here are some common examples of how that may be playing out in your life. And I think I pretty much checked the box on all these in my personal life until I went back and healed those core wounds. So a dysregulated nervous system is going to have us living in either two worlds, hyperarousal or hypoarousal. Basically, we're not on our sweet spot. We're either way overstimulated or way understimulated. So let me talk about that for a hot second. Hyperarousal is going to show up like physically increased heart rate, emotionally hypervigilance, where you are in a constant state of alertness, always scanning the environment for danger, exaggerated startle response. I for sure was guilty of this in that I was very sensitive to noises and sounds, and I was easily startled because I was always on guard, waiting to scan the environment for what was going to hurt me next. Difficulty concentrating. That's a big one too, because brain fog and the inability to really just concentrate and bring full attention to something is a symptom of hyperarousal. Now, what about hypoarousal? This is kind of the opposite extreme, but this is where we get into when we think about sympathetic nervous system and fight, flight, or freeze. The first one would be more of the fight or the flight where you've got this arousal state. The freeze or the fawn would be that hypoarousal. And this is going to show up with fatigue, low energy, persistent feelings of exhaustion, low physical energy, dissociation, a sense of detachment or disconnection from one's body or your surroundings, numbness, where you just feel like you're scrolling through social media and you're just on autopilot and you are really emotionally checked out, and impaired memory, difficulty recalling memory, difficulty with taking on new information, and slowed motor response, meaning things like a delayed or physical movement. You just feel like you're moving through the world like with molasses. And here's the kicker. You can ping pong between both of these. You can go from hypoarousal, all the things I just mentioned, to hyperarousal, and you can switch back and forth. But one of the big key symptoms of having a dysregulated nervous system is that you don't have any real sense of your own groundedness. You are emotionally reactive to everything. You're always reacting. You're always feeling out of control of your emotions. You're constantly a victim of your environment, and you're not showing up in the world with intention, with groundedness, with centeredness, with alignment, with purpose, with passion, with a calmness and peace that I think we all kind of want to show up in the world in. So those are some common ways in which dysregulation is going to manifest in your life. That's how it shows up in physical symptoms in your body. And it also shows up in your relationships. And this is what I think is one of the biggest issues with, not issues, but one of the most compelling reasons to do the work of healing. And that is pretty much everything is a relationship in life. We have relationship with people, relationship with our coworkers, relationship with our children, our parents, our peers. But ultimately, it's our relationship with ourself that determines the quality of all of those other relationships. Our relationship with food even is a reflection of our relationship with ourselves. So until we do the work of really getting in there and learning how to love ourselves, the quality of all of our relationships in our life are going to suffer. And if we are constantly reacting and not grounded, we will attract unhealthy. And sadly, I guess, or I don't know, I mean, I don't believe that things happen just by coincidence. And I believe the lessons I've learned in my own life, especially leaving my marriage and realizing that I needed to do the work. And when I did, my eyes were opened and I saw with new eyes. And there's kind of a saying in therapy, you know, like once you see, you can't unsee. Once I started seeing and knowing my worth, I realized that I had been attracting unhealthy relationships in my life from my brokenness, from my unhealed parts of me. And that's why it's so important, is because unless we do the work, we're going to attract unhealthy relationships. And those unhealthy relationships have consequences generationally. And doing the work, the buck can stop with you. You can say, I'm going to change this pattern. I'm going to heal these parts of me so that I can show my children what healthy looks like, so I can learn how to love myself deeply and honor and attract healthy, loving relationships into my life. Relationships with food, relationships with people, relationships with your body. Everything changes when you heal those broken parts of you. So that's how it's all connected, from the early trauma to the trauma even in the teenage years, and then moving into that dysregulated patterns of behavior that attract unhealthy. All of it snowballs, and it's because this imprint of trauma that leaves its mark on our subconscious until we go back and do the work of healing. So that's why it matters. That's how it's all connected. I'm going to be bringing more nuggets around this specific integration of how trauma and emotional dysregulation and how those unhealthy patterns are showing up in your life. And the idea is, we know where we want to go. We know where we are. How do we get to the space of healing? How do we take where we are, love it, see it, acknowledge it, have compassion, know that the work that we really are ultimately going to do is a return back home to our own divineness, a return home to ourselves, a return to the wholeness that we truly are.